Ways. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in. Sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? This will be a strange show for sure, coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. We have a special guest who ran to do an errand to help us. Should be here momentarily. Ryan Wessler, former co-host of Talking Sports. I think it was even before Knockout Radio when Ryan was involved. Running down today's schedule, coming up momentarily, Frank Trigg, who we all saw refereeing again at the most recent UFC. Chris Lytle will be on towards the bottom of the first hour to talk about the upcoming BKFC open tryout out at Kevin Smith's location up in Hudson. Second hour, Bob Cook will be on to talk a little WCW, WWE, WWF, wrestling, new wrestling, old wrestling, and such. A couple of UFC fighters will be on we'll take care of that in a second. A couple of UFC guys will be on. Ricky Tercios will be on fighting Raul Rosso in Mexico this weekend. And Sam Hughes also on the card coming up this weekend in Mexico. So first and foremost, congratulations goes out to your new UFC champion, Ilya Topuria. Steve, you kind of called that one, as did Matt. Not that I wanted. Oh, you said we can't even mention his name today. Are you not talking?
No, I'm talking.
All right.
But I called it. I called him the champ, and your buddy John Robinson said, no, your buddy Jimmy Denning said that he's not the champ. And I said, just give it a couple days.
Yep. And big ups to him. I like the fact that, you know, we talk about it on a regular basis about rematches and such and deserving and do they deserve it and who deserves it. And Volkanovski has stepped up. He's gone up in weight. I believe even won one of those fights. And Ilya's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not going to fight some of the top three or four, which we tried to talk about and kind of got off track. But we'll get back to that. Right now, a very special guest as we come through with this cluster going on from Cool Breeze. Good friend of the program, good friend of mine, and more importantly, getting ready to go hit that little golf ball in another state, another island. Frank Trigg. Frank, how are you?
Good. Hey, Randy, how you doing, bud?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Every time I see you on TV, whether it's your acting gigs or refereeing, I get excited. I'm very happy. And obviously watching Saturday, you were back in the octagon doing what you now do in refereeing. Talk about that.
Yeah, it was, it's weird because you get in there. To me, it's just another fight. You know, it could be LFA. It could be A1. You know, it could be anything. To me, a fight's a fight. It doesn't really matter. But the UFC is like, it's a whole different animal. So when you walk in, the intensity, even for the refs, the judges, the inspectors, is all lifted because you're like, oh, this is a big show. We got to pay attention. We got to be on our marks. We got to make sure that we know exactly what we're doing. Our shirt's got to be tucked in. Our shoes got to be tied, like the whole bit.
Is it strange, though? And you know, you just said that it's every fight is the same. And, you know, as a judge here in the state of Florida, I look at it the same way. But is it a little strange or was it a little strange the first time when you were refereeing a UFC, you know, an organization that you once called home?
No, it really wasn't. I mean, that was probably 6 or 7 years ago. So right. It was, I think the fight was Cubs, well, the main event. It wasn't the fight that I had, but the main event was Cub Swanson and Brian Ortiz, I think. And I was like, it didn't, to me, it was just, I don't know. McCarthy kind of taught me that, yes, a title fight, you have to give the guy more help in the first round. Like, you know, like we know these guys are warriors. We know they can go through it. They know they can take a little bit of damage. Let's not call the fight in the first round because this guy's got a shot. But really, every fight is just as important as any other fight. So I really don't have that mentality of like, oh, it's the UFC, or oh, it's Bellator, or it's a, you know, $1 million fight, or this is going to cost, if this guy loses, I'm going to cost him $2 million. I don't think like that. I just go in and go, hey, my job is to keep everybody safe. I just do my job and get into it. And then it's the exterior pressure that you feel, you know, that everyone else around is like, okay, this is a big fight. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. Like, that kind of gets into you a little bit, but not really for me. Like, I don't really feel the difference between fights. To me, it's, I remember being in the small shows and going, if I don't win this fight, I'm not getting to the big show.
Right.
So to me, every fight's important to every fighter. They got to be able to, you know, they got to be able to get out to the next level.
How do you determine, you know, and I'm sure every referee is different, and we always talk about you let it go to a referee, let it go too far, a referee stopped it too soon. How do you know when it's that point, when it's now is the time to call a fight?
Man, it's really difficult to say because it's not every ref is different, but every fighter is different. So if you're, let's go old school for a second. If I got Bob Sapp Nogueira, and it's the first round, right?
Right.
Under today's rules, you got to think about stopping that fight. Like you really got to get in there. Like Bob is just destroying him. Like he's going to kill this guy. We got to get in there and stop the fight. Under the old rules, that fight goes all the way through, and Nogueira catches him in the second round. Now, of course, there's tied rules, so 10-minute first round, 5-minute second round, but you guys get the point. But the rules have changed and have developed to where now you have to, like, kind of think about it. But also, too, as a referee, I have to think about the fighters that are in there. Has this kid been knocked out 3 times in his last 3 fights? Well, now if he gets touched, I got to stop the fight. Even before he thinks he's out, I got to get in there, right? But the guy that's, like, very worthy, like a Justin Gaethje, who's very, very determined, very worthy, Max Holloway, a very worthy opponent, you know, can take a lot of hits, let this fight keep going. Because you know these guys can do it. But there's also a limit. You got to find that limit. You don't want them getting any brain damage or shortening their careers. What becomes a problem is, in my mind, I'd rather be early than be late.
Sure.
You know, so yell at me for being early. I don't mind that at all. What I am going to be upset about and like kill myself when I get home and be like, this is a real problem for me, get really into a real self-absorbed state, is if I stop too late. Because that could end. That could shorten a guy's career, shorten a girl's career.
No, definitely. So I'm assuming that you would know 95% of every fighter that, you know, in the UFC level that you know, if you're going to referee it. But if you don't know the person, so do you go back and do research, watch some fights?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just like, so it's funny. It's just like script reading. So if I'm getting ready for a role, you know, I'm out here in Hawaii right now working on a live action Lilo and Stitch. And even though it doesn't involve me, I still got to know what the script reads. I still got to know what's going on, right? The same thing with these fights. I have to know, is this guy an armbar guy? Or is he a striker? Is he a wrestler that doesn't wrestle? Or is he a wrestler that wrestles the entire time? So I need to know these things before I get into the fight, because then it judges my position. It judges how close I am to the fight. If you notice, if they're big swingers, like the Taffer fight this weekend, right? I gave them a lot of space because these guys are big swingers. They're not going to try to wrestle. They're not going to try to get out on the ground. They're going to try to kill each other on their feet. That's what they're trying to do. So I have to give them space to get their kicks and their punches in without catching me, without me getting hit. So I have to give them a lot of space. So if they're grapplers, then I'm a lot closer. And you can see that a lot of referees, depending on what's happening, they'll give space or not give space.
Interesting. How do you handle, and knowing you the way I do, I know how you handle it. You know, fans, comments. I have a really good friend of mine that is a judges in the UFC, and just kind of took some time off just because of all the harassment he was taking on social media. How do you handle it, or do you just block it out and don't care?
I have no idea if it happens or not. I don't look at it. I don't care. it doesn't affect me because I don't know what's happening. I don't really know. And I talked to, you know, I talked to Sal D'Amato and Derek Cleary and Mike Bell, you know, who just recently had a bunch of headache because he had a wrong call on a fight. And these guys really get into it. If anybody really has a flippant question or off topic question, I'd recommend to, like, talk to Goddard. Like, Mike Goddard loves to talk to the fans. He loves to talk to everybody about everything. Like, go talk to him. Or go talk to Jason Herzog. These guys want to talk all the time. I just choose not to. Like, to me, it doesn't really matter. Like, this weekend, an example. I took no heat from anybody. I had no negative results, and nothing negative about the fight was ever said. But I was incorrect in how I called that fight and how I ref that fight. So the fans don't even know that something is wrong.
Right.
So when the fans come at me for something, I'm like, half the time, they're yelling at me or talking about something that I did completely correct. Within the rule system, within the optic system, how we do everything, I'm completely correct, and they're telling me that I'm wrong. So I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't matter, because you don't know the rules, so it doesn't. I don't need to get in an argument with you, because why? I just leave it alone. I just let it go. So it doesn't bother me at all.
For sure. Do you think that, because I do, that you are one of the groundbreaking fighters that have transformed, you know, into judging, into refereeing, and that more will follow your footsteps and do this?
No. No, because the problem is, like, it's financial. So, I'm because I'm part of the commission, I have access to the paycheck. When I got paid my title fight against Matt, I'm third or fourth on the card, pay-wise, now. Right? So these guys are making way more money than we ever did. So for them now to make $100,000 for a fight, then make $100 a night when they first start reffing or judging, it doesn't make any sense. You're there for 6 hours, you made $100. Because you have to start at the amateur level before you can make the jump to pro.
Right.
So these guys, like, and then even when you get to pro, the most you'll make is a title fight on pay-per-view. How many of those are you going to ref a year? If you're Herb Dean or Goddard or Beltran or Herzog, you got 8 or 9 a year. Guys like me, I might get 1 or 2 a year.
Right.
So there's no real money in what we do.
So they're not going to
jump in.
So you're doing it for the love of what it is. And ironically, you know, I like I said, I'm a judge here in the state of Florida, and there's times where you break it down, and I've done this. You know, I do it because I love it, and it keeps me involved.
Yeah.
But I've broken it down to I'm making like $2.75 a fight.
Yeah, that's what it comes out to. Honestly, that's really what it is. And then you look at, like, well, you know, John McCarthy did it full-time. How come you can't do it full-time? Well, John McCarthy also retired full-time at LAPD. So he has a retirement he's living on, as well as the money he gets from refereeing and running his course. Beltran, when he retires, he'll retire full pay as LA Sheriff's Department. You know, Herzog, everybody that's a referee that I know of has a full-time job. And then they also ref and judge.
Right.
And they all do it for the love of the sport.
And that's the case with the judges as well. I know Sal just recently retired, but, you know, most judges, you know, it's the same. It's kind of a side thing that they can fly in on Friday. It doesn't affect everything else. Let's talk about, before we run out of time, because, A, you're going to hit the golf course. And second, before I ask you this question, when are you coming back to Florida so we can play some golf here?
That's tough. I was there a few weeks ago, but I just came in real quick to see my wife's grandmother down in Melbourne. And then came in, came out, was there for a couple of days. But, geez, man, if it's golf, I can make that happen anytime. Especially if it's greater Tampa area, like that, I can definitely get down there for a golf course.
All right. Well, I don't know if you're already on the course and if you have something to write with, but I want you to Google or YouTube Steve Monroe.
Steve Monroe. Okay.
Steve Monroe, nicknamed the Predator. When you take a look at him, that may entice you to come play some golf.
Okay. Now, just remember, I'm really bad at the game. I just like it a lot.
Well, you know, it's funny. I played yesterday in the Valspar media event, and I said that to the person I was playing with. I'm awful. I stink at golf, but it's the only thing I enjoy because I know that I can't be competitive, and I can just go out and have a good time. But if you come in and we'll play with Steve and you see what this guy can do, you will enjoy golf even more because of how good he is. It'll be a lot of fun for sure, I promise.
Okay, good. I'm definitely going to look him up for sure.
Talk to us about your acting. Every time you know, we touch base or I see you on social media, you've got another gig, you're in another TV or movie, or, you know, update us.
It's been pretty good. I'm working on a few different projects. I was in Bath Reeves for just a short, quick run that's already out on Paramount Plus. I'm doing Lilo and Stitch right now, live action here in Oahu. And then next week I go to Fort Worth to work on another Taylor Sheridan show. And for those that aren't familiar with Taylor Sheridan, he's the guy that wrote Yellowstone, 1923, 1883, like all that stuff is all Taylor. He also was doing this new show called Landman, and that's with Billy Bob Thornton, Jacob Laughlin, Demi Moore, John Hamm have all signed on. And we just started filming that, and I go out there next week to go film that for a week. But it's like, it's been pretty cool because I didn't think I was going to find anything after fighting. I could actually really love, like really get into and get my passion behind again. And I found this. So now it's just like, every time I turn around, I'm working with my friends all the time. It's actually pretty fun.
Is it the part of being an actor? Is it a part that, you know, having to learn lines? Is it the physical contact if you're in, you know, one of those scenes? What is it that draws you and draws you to continuing to act?
Well, so for me, I do a lot of the action performing. So I'm the guy that has like 15 lines and then gets a horrific death. You know, that's kind of my role, right? So being able to be that character, whatever it is, and it's always a bad guy, let's be honest. I'm always playing some kind of, you know, you're on terrestrial radio, so I can't use the words I want to use, but I'm a real bad human being. Morally incorrect is my job, right? And then I have to get killed when I'm getting hit by a car, getting shot through a window, or taking a shotgun blast. You know, like, it's to hit those marks, to hit that time frame, and then have that hit the ground hard, or getting pulled to the ground hard, or going through something dangerous, that really gets my adrenaline up. Because you really have to think about the safety issue. Same thing as reffing. I have to be consciously safe about everything I do. Every step, every motion, every movement. Is this going to be safe for camera? Is this safe for the guys that you guys don't see in the scene? Or is this going to be just about me? Is I'm going to be separate and I can do whatever I want and like completely spell out?
What is the process, you know, to get a role? I mean, obviously you have to read in front of these people, blah, 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 blah. What about the nerves? What about all of that? If it's a part, and more importantly, a part that you really want.
Dude, a lot of times they don't even tell you what's happening. You just go do it. And then I showed up the other day and I'm working with Sir Ben Kingsley. He's like, hold on, what happened? They're like, yeah, this is the role you read for. Like, you didn't tell me this with Kingsley. Like, yeah, we know, we didn't want to tell you. Because it's a different, you'll be a different person then when you're trying to audition. So what they do is they don't even tell you who it is until you show up. And I was like, oh, I'm in this scene. I know he's on the show, but I didn't realize that the scene was actually with him. So now it's a whole different, and then everything puckers up when you get there. Like there's a whole, oh, I'm in with Ben. This is very scary now. I am super nervous. Like, now what do I got to do? Yeah, and then he's a gentleman of a man. He's super pleasurable. He pops you down off the ledge, and you get the scene done in 2-3 takes, and you move on.
Final question for you, so you can go get ready for your golf. Obviously, you know that we live in the Tampa Bay area. It's as close to Hawaii, you know, as you can be without being in Hawaii. So my question is, do I need to come out and experience and see Hawaii at some point, or have I seen it basically living in Clearwater?
No, Hawaii. Island life is a different kind of lifestyle, man. It's when I came out here to work on Hawaii 5-0 and stayed and worked on Mad Men, so we lived out here for about 4 years. I met some of the kindest, nicest people you ever meet in the entire world. But you also have to remember this island was taken over by force. So everybody still has that little bit of angst in them. The locals have a little bit of like, we didn't really want to be part of this system that we're in. But we're going to conform to the system, but we're still an island, so we're going to be separated from it. If you come out here, it's like, you know, on a Sunday, grab some Heinekens, grab a couple of ribeyes, and walk down the beach. And within 10 minutes, you'll find somebody you know, and you'll be able to join their picnic with their family, and you'll be totally welcome and totally happy. But if you act like an idiot, you get treated like an idiot. Yeah, it's very in your face. There's nothing behind you. There's nothing behind your back. You do it right to your face. You know where you stand. When you walk in, you know where you stay. When you walk away.
You can't ask for anything more than that. So you mentioned if you walk down the beach, you're treated like family. How's your family doing? How's your wife? How's everybody?
Everybody's doing really well. It's kind of surprising. Like, the whole family, all the kids, the grandkids, the godkids, everyone is thriving at this point. Like, my entire small circle, my small group of internal guys, you know, guys and gals I talk to on a regular basis, all of us are doing extremely well right now, which is very rare. There's always one or two of us that are having a little bit of a bad time, but no one's having that right now. Everyone is doing amazingly well right now. So my entire world, as far as I'm concerned, my entire world is amazing.
Well, that's definitely awesome. Frank, let's don't leave a 15-year break in between having you back on. I love talking to you. I miss you. And hopefully we can cross paths again very soon.
Brad, you can call me anytime. I'd love to come on again.
We'll talk soon. Enjoy your golf.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. That is Frank Trigg. Go back. You know, somebody made a post or a comment, and over 21 years I've known Frank Trigg. Good guy. Like I said, I truly miss him. A lot of times you say, I miss your brother. You know, do you mean it? You know, you just saw him or whatever. Frank Trigg's a good dude. refereeing now, big shows, little shows, doing some movies and TV gigs. We've always talked via text. First time I've had him back on in a very, very long time. We'll talk more about Frank Trigg and a whole lot more. Let's go hit this break. Coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility, this is Knockout Radio.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Michael Strahan, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
Roasted Whisk Gift Box Company is an online specialty gift box company specializing in corporate gifting, creating a fun and unique gifting experience for your clients, vendors, or employees. Gift boxes could include specialty coffees or teas, mugs, espresso-infused baked goods, scented candles, and many more options. Check us out at roastedwhisk.com. Roasted Whisk on all social platforms.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Conveniently located in Pinellas Park, Cool Breeze AC is just one phone call away. Reach them at 727-954-3605. And their highly skilled and knowledgeable technicians will be at your service 24/7, ensuring your ultimate comfort all year round.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bill Romanowski, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, StaffZone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and BioAccelerator. So we're trying to get our feet back under us after broadcasting all week long from the Super Bowl and Radio Row. And I need to learn to grab all of my equipment once we are packing up to leave. As a cord was left, cords were replaced, cords don't work, so we're winging it here. Ryan will be here momentarily so we can talk about the trading card business. What happens to the trading card business? Does the Topoya's cards go up? Does Volkanovski's card go down? Dana White just announced a UFC 300, that main event. And, you know, we need to at some point address in the second hour if Alex beats wins the light heavyweight title or the heavyweight title or the middleweight title, et cetera, et cetera, when does he start being talked about in the same conversation as the GOAT? So we're going to talk about that with Ryan here in the second hour. A lot of stuff still to get to, but this weekend, so you want to be a fighter. You know, Dana White said that very famously in, I think it was the first season of Tough, do you want to be a blankety fighter? Well, now's your opportunity. Let's welcome back to the program. It's been a while. Chris Lytle. Chris, how are you?
Man, I am doing fantastic, Randy. Thank you for letting me come talk with you guys.
Oh, absolutely. It's been way too long. That's my fault. I should call more often, not only when you come to town, as you are coming to town this weekend. Talk about what is a BKFC Open tryout and what does Matt or Steve or whoever's going to come out, what do they need to do? What do they have to show to possibly get signed?
Well, you got to show a couple things. You have to show some skill. The main thing, I can't put people out there to fight who are going to get hurt. You know, this is all about the safety of the fighter. I want to see you have some skill, but a lot of it is about your why. Why are you here? Why do you want to be here? I keep telling people, man, I mean, even like most people in the world don't want to fight. You know, they look at fighters like something's wrong with you. You're in the like one percentile of people who want to fight. And I would say, only 1% of fighters want to do bare knuckle. You know what I mean? So you're like the 1% of the 1% who want to do it. So I always ask, why are you here? What is your why? What is the reason you want to get involved with bare knuckle? And then I got to see your skills. But, I mean, you can see a little bit about heart determination. And that's what it takes to be good at bare knuckle. You have to be a dog and be able to get hit and just keep coming. So we look for just a lot of different things. Toughness, skill, good story, everything.
When, and I know you've had, you know, a few of these tryouts, when you pick somebody or a couple people out and then the team sits down and David Feldman and everybody makes a decision, yeah, let's go with this person. Have you ever been surprised, either good or bad, that, yeah, I made the right choice, look at this person, or, maybe I need to look for something different?
Yeah, well, that's the thing is you can look, but unless we're, I mean, you can't really tell how a person is when they get hit and hurt. You know, I mean, that's the deciding factor. If someone can get up off the canvas and keep fighting, that's the thing. We can't put people through that in tryouts. You know, I'm not going to knock people down, have their teeth knocked out, see how they do. So that's the question, Mark. That's the thing. You can show a lot of skill. You know, you can show, man, he's got fast hands. He hits the bag well. But you can't really tell how big of a dog they are until they really get in the fight. We do a little sparring. It's kind of like, I just want to make sure the guys can fight. But then, I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to kind of wait till they get in there. And a lot of times they might have an easy fight first. They might knock the guy in the first round. They might take two fights in. But eventually, when they get in there, like, we had a couple guys. We had that Brian Durant, you know, he's from down in Florida. And he was 5-0, but he'd never really been tested. He got knocked down in this fight. He came back and he won. Same thing with Ryan Reaver. He got knocked down. He was undefeated. Got knocked down, got up, and won the fight. So that means a lot to me. If you can taste the canvas and get up and win, that means you have some kind of a dog in you. You got a lot of gameness. So that's kind of what we're looking to. It's kind of hard to really get that feel. Right now, when I go to the trials, I just want to see what kind of skill you are, how mentally tough you are, and why you want to be here.
Now, when you said we spar, does that mean you get in there and spar with them?
You know, I do sometimes. I don't really mean to, but there's been probably almost every fight or every sparring session when somebody, like, something will happen, their glove, or they can't go in there, or they're just done. I'm like, give me gloves. I'll jump in there for a round or two and just go with you guys. So, yeah, I still like to mix it up a little bit. But it's funny because I'm usually wearing jeans and I have, like, no, I'm not ready. I just jump in. My hands aren't wrapped. No mouthpiece.
And just go. So
yeah.
I'm curious, when you guys decide on a location, you know, obviously, you know, Kevin Smith involved with BKFC, involved with combat sports, that makes sense. Do you look for a location on where you want to go for dinner that night? Do you look for a location on where you've heard there's talent? How do you decide the locations?
Well, what we do is we try to find out where we're putting fights on and where we want to bring talent in. And then after that, we do all our due diligence to find out, okay, let's say we're going to Oregon. Okay, so we're going to go find out where we want to go. We start asking around the local people who we know and trust. Because we have a lot of, like, I've been around this game for a while. I started calling and asking people, where should we go? And they'll give me some recommendations on what gym to go to. And then I'll call the gym owner and be like, hey, can we put this on here? And then, yeah, we just kind of try to find out where the most talent is and what the best gym that's going to have, you know, the ability to put on our tryout. Where, I know we've put some on before in really small facilities, and I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore. So I try and call around and make sure it's a good place for us now.
You know, I used to ask the question I'm about to ask you back in the day, you know, with you and Couture and Chuck Liddell, et cetera, how big, when do you expect? Did you ever expect BKFC or the sport of bare knuckle to not only explode, but as explode as quickly as it has?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I've told this story many times, but the first time I even heard of bare knuckle, I was at my gym and somebody said, "You're friends with Joe Riggs, right?" I was like, "Yeah." Well, he's doing a bare knuckle fight in England. I was like, "The hell's wrong with Joe? Why would he do a? What is he owe money or what is?" I didn't get it. So I hit play on the phone to watch, and I was expecting it to be in like a warehouse with a bunch of like cars lined up around, like just some
people
betting money. Yeah, I was like, "What's going on?" And then I watched it, and as soon as the fight was over, I was like, "Okay, who do I talk to do this?" And they're like, "Whoa, like what you?" You were talking how stupid it was. I said, "Yeah," but then I watched it. And I was like, "This is raw. This is real. This isn't an athletic contest. This is a fight." And I think that's what people like to see. You know, I love the UFC and everything, but it's grown up to the point where, you know, a lot of times it's an athletic contest. The people's favorite fights are the ones where people just go in there and fight. You know, just don't care about wins or losses or what happened. They just go in there and fight. That's what we have all the time in bare knuckles. So I felt like that element of what we have there, it resonates in people, and people are going to want to see that for sure. And we just got to get people. The more people see it, the more it's going to catch on.
You know, one of the things that I always found surprising, and as I helped, you know, push, you know, the MMA world and combat, you know, the difference between that and boxing and how MMA is safer than boxing because of the size of the gloves. But I can't get people to understand that no glove is better than a 4-ounce glove, and a 4-ounce glove is better than a 12-ounce glove.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive, but I mean, I keep trying to tell people like this, like, you know, what would make football safer is we'll go back to leather helmets. They're like, "What?" I'm like, "Man, I don't care how good you make these helmets. If you're a big man and you're running 20 miles an hour and you suddenly stop, your brain's going to hit the skull. Just because you have that big helmet, it doesn't help. Same thing with the glove. The glove makes it way worse. I've had about 100 fights. I think I had one concussion. It was after a boxing match. I mean, when I went to bare knuckle, when I started training for it, I had to totally change up my style. I'm like a inside boxing guy that takes a lot of damage. When you do bare knuckle, you can't do that. I had to become like an in and out fighter. You know, I had to change my style, and that translates over to in the gym. You know, in the gym, you don't get hit as much. In the fight, you don't get hit as much because you can't, or you're going to get cut open. So you have to adapt your style. You have to be better. You have to be more technically sound, and that's going to lead to like a lot less brain damage.
Finally, throw some names out of some signed BKFC fighters that have fights coming up that people, you know, may or may not be aware of. Obviously, we know the Dave Mundells and the Mike Perrys and, you know, the Lorenzo Hunts. Who are some of the names on the horizon that we should be looking out for?
Man, I don't know. We've always been talking to several guys, so hard to tell. I don't even know who we've got even signed right now. I know I'd like to get, you know, Pettis signed. I'd like to. I keep hoping that they try and talk to like a Robbie Lawler. I don't know if he has. I doubt he would do it. But I want to get some of these guys who are just bangers. You know what I mean? I want to try and get those guys in there because, like I said, it's safer for you. I think they'd enjoy it. And it's so much easier on your body to not have to go through a camp with wrestling and jiu-jitsu. I mean, that is taxing and kills your body. I keep telling fighters this will add 5 years to your career. If you do MMA for a while and you're like, "You know what, I'm tired of doing all that training," just come to bare knuckle, man. I mean, it's so much easier on the body. They'd be amazed.
Give the details, address, times, everything for us. Is it just Saturday out there?
Yeah, we're just there Saturday. We're at, Winkle, or not John, we're at Smith Brothers Gym. To be honest, I don't even have the address. I have it on my thing. You can look it up. It's at noon. We start at noon. It'll be a good time. Everybody will be there. What I like to do when we're doing it, a lot of people have never had any bare knuckle fights there. So what I'm doing, I kind of do a little seminar as I'm teaching. We're shadow boxing, and then I'm stopping and like, okay, this is a little bit different. This isn't MMA, this isn't boxing. This is why you need to put your hands here. You need to stand here. I'll just go over a lot of things, and then we'll go back. We'll hit the mitts for a little bit. Okay, this is why this works. This is why this does not work. I want to make sure when these guys get selected, when they come, they're ready. They understand. They have a little bit of a fundamental knowledge of what's going on with bare knuckle. Because a lot of people think it's boxing without gloves, and it's not.
It's going to be a lot of fun for those that go out there. We may come out and watch. I certainly am not going to get on a mat or anything. But as always, Chris, thank you for your time. Have fun on Saturday, and let's talk soon.
Hey, I can't wait. You better be out there, man.
Talk to you soon. That is Chris Lytle. You know him from the UFC days. Now he commentates BKFC. He's been there for quite some time, if not from the beginning. He's also been in that squared circle as well, so he can definitely speak the speak. All right, let's go ahead and break. Coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Olympic gold medalist Christy Yamaguchi, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This year, the magic is calling you like never before. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival is celebrating its 45th anniversary, and you won't want to miss a moment. Experience the all-new Mermaid Cove, House of Dragons Pub, and enjoy classic favorites like live armored combat jousting or tasty turkey legs. Now is the perfect time to get your discounted tickets. Visit select Circle K locations or find your magic today at BayAreaRenFest.com. Huzzah!
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at CountryDepotStore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, what's going on? This is Nick Lachey from MTV's Newlyweds, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Hi, we are back coming to a makeshift equipment here from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. Ryan from Rhino Cards will be here momentarily. He's trying to locate an adapter so that we can continue this broadcast before the Martians land. I want to bring something up, so I brought Steve in for a second. What's up, dude?
Not much. What's up?
Running around like a madman, as always.
That's right.
All right, so I noticed this, I think it was yesterday. Anybody that's listening to this show knows that I hate certain words, like legend, icon, superstar. there was an organization, and I'm not going to necessarily name their names. Yeah, I'm not overly whatever, but I hate when you overuse a word to push or promote yourself. Okay? So this organization just signed a pretty decent name. The father was a pretty decent name. The son is in combat sports as well. You know, we've talked to numerous father sons, and yes, having the same last name. I remember Kyle Petty. I said something to him, and he goes, you know, don't kid yourself. The doors opened because my last name is Petty. If my talent can't keep me here, I won't be here. So that makes a lot of sense. So this organization started to name some of their big names. One name, and they said, former UFC star. I believe star was the word that was used. His record was 1-5 in the UFC. Why are you using star? You know, I know that you want to use the word UFC or the words Ultimate Fighting Championship, you know, to better yourself or to be able to piggyback off of that UFC name. But to call somebody that was 1-5, and no disrespect, he fought in the UFC, big ups to him. That's 143 more UFC fights than I've had. Not more than I've seen, but more than I've had. It just kind of bothers me.
Could be a star, let's say, if this is coming from somebody that lives in a town that there's 35 people. I mean, that might be a star of that town. But a star at 1-5 in the UFC, there's a lot of guys that came in through the UFC and a lot of guys that have exited the UFC. 1-5. This person is not a star, and you haven't used the other word yet, right?
Which word is that?
With legend?
Yeah. He's definitely, you know, and if you want to use that, then they should have said, and I'm going to make it up because I don't remember his name. I don't have any idea where he's from. And this isn't about him. He's not saying it. The organization is. Then say Dover star, Ocala star, you know, Clearwater Beach star, blah, blah, blah. Not UFC star.
Yeah.
Because at 1-5, you're not a star. You know, you're a fighter.
And
you're
no
a UFC
means,
fighter.
No means 1-5 is a star in my eyes.
Yeah, well, 2-3 is not a star. Honestly, 3-2 is not a star. It's a good fighter. It's a fighter in the UFC. No disrespect.
Yeah, correct.
And I don't mean it to – I'm not directing this to the fighter because he didn't say – he doesn't wear a shirt that says UFC star or legend or Hall of Famer or icon. It's not him. It's the organization that's trying to push, you know, their tie, you know, to the UFC. That's all. Just kind of my comment. What's up? What do we got going on? You working on anything for us? What's, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking for a power cord.
For you or for me?
But it's way out of reach. I think it's in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, I should call. I know somebody said I should call the...
Yeah, that was me, Randy.
The Mandalay Bay Convention Center. Mm-hmm. It'll cost more to have it shipped than it will to replace it.
Well, you could just manage through until you get out there again in a month.
Are we out there in a month?
I don't know.
February or March? No, we're not out in March.
All right, well, just book a trip.
April, okay.
Book a trip out there. We'll get it done.
I think we can. And
with your fine-tuned staff, because you do have a staff, your staff, you shouldn't have to do anything, Randy, except just put your voice on the audio and the video. You shouldn't have to do a thing. I don't know why your staff didn't look around. Fine, check everything, look over everything, and make sure that we had everything.
Oh, I agree with that. You know, like I said in our staff meeting, and yes, we have staff meetings, not just Cool Breeze has staff meetings. We have them as well. I said, I took the blame. It's my fault because it's ultimately my responsibility. But we had six people there. Not a single person of those six people. And I looked under the table. I know I did.
No, six people, I would count one guy as a half.
and one is a quarter. Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah.
So we got a friend of yours coming up in the second hour. Update us a little bit. Give me some heads up on Bob Cook.
Okay, so Bob Cook, I see him. I don't know. I'm not a gamer, you know, video gamer. But I don't know if he is making a wrestling video game straight from start to scratch, or is it... Is he adding skins? I think it's called skins when you change how you see the game. You change the skin. But he keeps putting that on there. And I'm wondering what that's about, if he's making the game or just adding to the game itself.
So it's a game with wrestlers, meaning wrestling names, so that he's able to use Ric Flair's and Dusty Rhodes's and all that kind of stuff?
Well, if you get deep in the game and you could buy, like, say, a different uniform, when you buy the game at the beginning, let's say everything is generic what you're looking at. You buy, I'm going to call it a skin. You buy a skin, and then this person running around originally looked like John Travolta, and now you make him look like Boo Powell. And then only you see that.
So only you know. Okay. Yeah. So you could buy, in your words, the skin of a black tank top sort of leotard looking thing with polka dots. So they're not saying that's Dusty Rhodes,
right,
but it certainly resembles him.
Right.
And then you push a button, so you put another 200 pounds on the frame of the person so that it resembles him.
Correct. So Bob Cook, I read a little bit here. I read it all, but I only can obtain so much of it. But like, say, Dusty Rhodes in this wrestling event that he was in, he was wearing black boots that day instead of the traditional white boots. So Bob Cook changes that.
Back to white or
back to
black?
Whatever it's supposed to be.
So what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's making it all, everything, as much as he can to the original.
Now, I got some intel that you're possibly buying another storage unit. Any rumors to that?
No, there's no. There might be rumors, but I'm not buying any storage units now. I had talk of. I have outbuildings, and then I have a shed. Now, I guess I'm going to have to incorporate another shed because I don't want to get rid of some of this stuff, and I'm not buying any more stuff. Stuff is stuff. Traveling the world, travel to me is the best thing in the world for anybody. Having stuff is not the best, in my opinion. So I don't need any more stuff.
All right, so I want to find this because I want to read it exactly. You know, I don't find you a very funny person.
Okay.
But every once in a while, you drop a line that's just hilarious. So if I can find it in time, here it is. So you put up something from when we had the BioAccelerator people on.
Okay.
And for our YouTube channel, and it says stem cell therapy killed Chuck Liddell's pain in his shoulder, back, neck, and knee by BioAccelerator. Very rarely do I laugh, and very rarely do I laugh out loud. This was your post after you posted that on our YouTube channel. Can't wait to go back to Columbia to get healed up and murdered.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. Randy and myself went to Columbia, and Randy was nervous going there. And I can't say that I wasn't nervous, but...
it's such a safe place, though.
Yeah, it's a very safe place. Well, we're still alive, right, Randy?
Yeah.
But
not sure how.
Yeah, there's a lot. We could put about 83 things together and maybe, you know, leave a lot of those out, but we were almost murdered. That's it.
So does that mean that we're living on borrowed time and we should go back?
Well, we should go get healed up, and then guess what's going to be next?
Yeah, you're going to get murdered.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't say we're going to get murdered. You said, and then you get murdered.
Did I say you?
Yeah, you said you.
I'm sorry. All right.
Any fights upcoming that you're aware of? I know you're busy and you normally don't know. You normally don't know who's fighting until we get there.
Oh, you don't mean our interior fight.
Yeah. Well, that's why Matt's not here right now. Oh, I said his name. I'm not supposed to say his name. All right, I got a dollar fine.
Man, I'm going to talk to the producer about that. You just said that name.
Okay.
We could say it backwards, Tam.
Tam, okay.
Yeah.
So are there any upcoming any MMA fights, any bare knuckle fights, any combat fights that you're looking forward to?
Well, it's curious. There's one in Tampa coming, and it's to do with your gentleman that was just on here, Chris Lytle. I don't know where that's going to be and when it's going to be.
I could be wrong. I normally am. But I believe that is the day before UFC 300 in Las Vegas.
I don't think we'll make it.
Well, I know I'm not going to make it.
I'm not going to make it.
I'm going to be at the Scorpions concert.
What about UFC 300?
That's the next day.
Oh, but it's the day before that.
Well, the Scorpions is 2 days before. I believe the Scorpions are Thursday.
Wow, you have a calendar.
I do. I don't read it.
Right.
You know, a lot of times, I'll look at it after the fact. So let me give you the heads up, people in Radio Land, and you yourself and I. I'm looking forward to seeing you on the golf course. We just had Frank Trigg getting ready to get on the golf course. You're going to be on the golf course on Monday.
Okay. Very good.
A, do you play? B, have you ever played? And C, do you have clubs?
Yes, I do have clubs. Yes, I've played. Yes, I've been on the golf course, and yes, I will out-golf you.
You think?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
I seen you at,
really?
What was it, Top Golf? Is that the name of it? Mm-hmm. And we were in Vegas, and then Rihanna was practicing that night right across the street from us in Phoenix for that super big football game that they have with the NFL. And so I seen you golf. Okay, so you were racking up some points at whatever game we were playing, and you're racking up points, but it was that first little thing that we were three stories up and the wind could blow the ball in the hole.
Okay, so what are you saying?
And then I'm saying you can't drive the ball. I already know that because I've seen your swing.
Okay.
I will outdrive you, and then I'll putt about 16 putts, and I'll still get you.
All right. I think you're going to be surprised.
Okay.
You'll outdrive me. I saw the way you were hitting.
Okay.
Okay. I'll out-putt you.
Now, some of the ones that I swing.
Yeah, they went.
Hit, no.
You hit people in the parking lot.
No, it'll be halfway to the, like, say, if it's a par three, I'll be halfway into the next one. Then I'll just redo a ball, and I'll use that ball when we get to the next hole.
So you'll cheat is what you're saying. All right.
Well, if I hit it like 200 yards past the cop, you know.
Well, that could be a stroke penalty and you re-hit.
It would be, you know.
Well, I don't care. You can cheat.
It would be because that would be out of bounds. Even though there isn't any boundaries, there really is boundaries.
I'm pretty sure you will outdrive me. You know, I saw you drive. You were not real accurate, but you were far.
That's according to Randy. You don't know where I was trying to hit the ball. If I was trying to hit the net on the side, you know, that's it.
No, that's true.
Because it was a dog leg or it was a... You know,
I didn't think you were thinking that far ahead. Okay.
Well,
so yeah, you will outdrive me. I'm sure of that. I will outputt you for sure. My short game, I've never seen you play. My short game's better than yours.
Okay.
I'm sure of that.
I would say so.
Okay. So, I played yesterday. I had some great shots, but I didn't have either one of my clubs. My son took my clubs and forgot to return them. If you ever loan something to your children, don't.
So you're a golfer without clubs.
I had clubs. I didn't have my chipper putter. I want to play. I want to play in a one club tournament.
Okay.
All I want to use. I want to play someone, and you can use any club you want. So you can use your driver. I'm going to use my chipper putter.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do that.
All right.
We could do that Monday.
All right. And I'm going to put a call into David Blaine or Copperfield or something. I'm going to need a little help.
What, making my club disappear?
That too. or like what Chris Angel did, with the drumstick.
Yeah, he made it disappear.
No, I'm just going to have them magically put the ball in the cup for me.
You know, there was back in the day, there was two foursomes that would travel the country playing in charity golf tournaments. Okay? And what they would do is they would play back to back. And the first foursome would play. And they would leave a golf ball in the cup. Then the second foursome, they were all friends, they would go to hit. And then the person who's supposed to be watching up at the cup, the other foursome would still be up there. And they would kind of like start talking to them and divert their attention. And then the guy would hit. And then the foursome and everybody would start screaming. And then they would walk up and the ball was in the cup. So then the person would come and ask the person who hit, hey, what ball were you playing? And they knew because they traveled the country ripping charities off.
Wow.
Even though it really didn't rip off the charities, what it did is I believe it ripped off the insurance company. Because when you have those hole-in-ones, win a car for a hole-in-one, the car dealerships typically take out an insurance policy, which is a few hundred dollars, no big deal, because very rarely do they win. So the insurance company had to pay the car dealership for the car. So the car dealership certainly didn't care because they sold a car.
Right.
So they ripped off, allegedly, the insurance company.
Yeah, there's been a few of those, if not just one, where somebody shoots a basketball from full court or something like that, and the ball went in, and then they had trouble trying to get the money and everything like that.
That's why you have insurance policies.
So going back to golf, and we have a wrestler coming on today. I had a wrestler roommate, and then I went to a couple of his matches, and there were some guys that have been around. Go ahead.
No, I was going to. No, I was going to say, hold off on your story. We're at the top of the hour.
Okay.
So we'll return with whatever story you are going to intrigue the audience
with. That's called a cliffhanger.
It is, and I'm hanging. I'm hanging myself here. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and BioAccelerator. We'll be back after the top of the hour.
Tam.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Michael Clayton from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.